Hello, and welcome to American Pale Males. American Pale Males. Oh. Your nerdy beer tasting podcast. As always, it is I, your host, Jeremy, and with me, as always...
Michael.
Michael, what are your thoughts on Blood Money pay-per-views?
Blood Money pay-per-views? What's a Blood Money pay-per-view?
So, you may have... You've got, you know, certain familial obligations these days, and you know you've been sick, but... One of our joint hobbies, because, you know, they say every episode is someone's first episode, is pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the Blood Money pay-per-view that happened today?
No, I don't. Oh, is that the Saudi Arabia right. One?
So, I'm watching it right now. It aired earlier today because it aired primetime Saudi Arabia time, which is like, you know, I'm assuming 7 or so hours ahead of us. I have mixed feelings on this.
Basically, a rich Saudi person paid a bunch of money...
The prince.
...to bring guys out of retirement.
Yeah,
and to
much.
Hire the main roster to put on a show there.
Yes.
Oh,
and
hence
so,
the blood money. Okay, I get it now.
Yeah. And, you know, lest we date ourselves, there's been, you know, a bit of a hullabaloo going on with Saudi Arabia and certain dismembered journalists going on in these past few weeks, so there was a big press to, you know, not do this. Especially with Kurt Angle wearing his Olympic medal, not cool. Okay. but basically they have a super rich prince who's trying to get people out of retirement and the grave, if the reports from the last one are to be believed. He tried to get the Ultimate Warrior and Yokozuna to appear in this 50-man Royal Rumble that they paid for the last one, despite both of those men being dead for quite some time. For Yokozuna, they just hired a large Japanese man.
So they just
hired a sumo wrestler.
Oh, wow. So
They didn't even put him in his gear or anything.
They get over there, I guess.
And, like, when you look at it objectively from, like, the macro perspective, it's objectively horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, they're pulling Shawn Michaels out of retirement. He hasn't done anything in 8 years. He is... he's pretty old. I'm trying to dig up the age right now.
He kind of looks like he's melting.
He looks like Droopy the dog, and one of his eyes doesn't point in the right one. He's got a little bit of nystagmus going on. Mm-hmm. But as a 53-year-old man who hasn't wrestled in 8 years, and he's bald now, which is also upsetting.
Right.
These things are all... Oh, God, he's as old as The Undertaker? Jesus. These things are all problematic, but I'm sitting here watching this. My fiance has boycotted it, and for good reason. But then you see all these little kids in the crowd, and they're losing their flipping minds because Kurt Angle is there doing the hand waves, people telling him that he sucks, despite English not being their first language, presumably.
Now, Jeremy, I saw a little... headline about this event about somebody else coming out during it, but I don't want to.
That already happened.
Okay.
Which is
controversial in its own right to an extent.
Yeah, if they're gonna go problematic, they may as well pull Hulk Hogan out of the freezer for this and just get it over with, because I'm sure they're coughing up at least 7 digits for him to come out here and shame himself and piss off every black wrestler in the roster.
Yeah, and certain wrestlers didn't even want to participate.
So the biggest wrestlers on the roster are one Yon Chena, or John Cena as he's known, and Daniel Bryan, and they just said, no, I'm not going to do it. Cena, because he's got too much to lose, because he's on his way out. He's going to the movies now. He's surprisingly good comedic actor at times. He's great in Trainwreck.
If you haven't
seen that, and I haven't seen that Blockers.
I was just gonna say Blockers,
but Council of the Show tells me it's genuinely funny.
Hmm.
But the other one, Daniel Bryan, is like, yeah, they're not gonna let my Syrian pal Sami Zayn wrestle there. So, despite him, you know, being all banged up and under the knife and everything.
Oh, yeah, he's not even, yeah.
He's just like, nah, I'm good. And so he bailed.
Well, good for them for
and good on them.
Up.
What are your thoughts on this? Is it horrible?
Yeah.
Correction. Is there any silver lining in this? Outside of them getting, you know, I can't even imagine the staggering amount of money that they're all being paid.
I mean, not really. I mean, I don't know.
Does the smile of the children make it worth it?
You can put a smile on children in other places.
It's true. You
they could have gone to a place that doesn't do that stuff.
I mean, the list goes on. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and pretend like it doesn't happen. Hashtag problematic.
Yeah.
That said, I'm still probably going to watch it.
Were there any young girls in the crowd?
No. But
there goes half the smiling kids right there.
But I don't know if you saw the setup of the last one, but this is in a different arena than the last one. I'm thinking because it's noticeably smaller. It's still real big, but it's not like a 90,000 person arena. In the front row, about 6 or 7 rows, across from the hard camera and all the way around, they have the, I'm assuming they're royalty, the guys with the white outfit. I don't know the proper terminology, but they have like the red and white checkered headscarves.
Right, like the extended royal family.
It's something like that. But
which
so
is
they're
pretty big.
Which is pretty big because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, about 4 or 5 rows deep of giant like leather chairs, like loungers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like in Cribs when they would show like, and this is my movie theater, and they'd have those enormous leather chairs in there.
The theater loungers, sure.
Yes.
Those kind of seats.
They're brown, but yes.
As opposed to the standard steel folding chair.
Wacky over the head with the just folding chair. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's problematic. I'm not going to fault the talent.
No, I don't really necessarily do that either. But
for going or for not going.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, a lot of them don't have the, you know, the pay me $1 million or I walk and I make a stink about it on the way out. They don't have that kind of clout.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on Vince McMahon.
I was going to say that too.
And the sooner he's gone, the better.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he still looks like a steroid pillow. He really does. It's like he looks exactly like you remember, except with a few more wrinkles. And the only thing that's different is that, like, Hulk Hogan is back and Drew McIntyre's getting a push. So that, but that's neither here nor there. That means nothing to no one except us. Michael, how about you hit me with the beer brag?
Well, my beer brags are kind of scant due to my illness, but I can go back. And I also will make an announcement with this beer brag. About 2 weeks ago, I had the Sam Adams Oktoberfest. Now well out of October.
We're barely out of October.
It's interesting. So I'm starting to, now that I'm getting more examples, I'm starting to find like a delineation, like a more clear delineation between the American Oktoberfest style beers and the true German Oktoberfest beers.
Mm-hmm.
So this one was zesty, had some hop notes on the front that, you know, provided that zestiness, and also caramely, as we noted before, they tend to be like darker in color versus like the lighter German color. And it also reminded me of the Bell's Oktoberfest that I had earlier in the month. And it's fine, but it almost approaches like a shade away from, you could roll that out into a pumpkin beer by adding pumpkin spice.
Okay.
Whereas the German style is cleaner and it has that crispness to it that we like. So
now when you say spicy, do you mean like as in a noble hop or do you mean an actual spice like nutmeg or something?
That's a good
like
point, yeah. So that would be not pumpkin spice, but yeah, hop spice, a hop zestiness.
Okay.
So I'm sure they're using like German hops in there or noble hops of some sort.
A noble hop, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure the German style beers use those too, but not to the same degree or to the same effect as these American ones. It seems like the American ones lay on a little thick, like, hey, this is definitely an Oktoberfest beer, whereas the German ones is just like a shade away from a, like a Helles or something like that.
So I'm looking at Samuel Adams Oktoberfest hops on Google, and I'm told they are using, the brewery pairs the hefty malt backbone with the classic German noble hops Tettnang and Hallertau,
okay,
each contributing to a muted bitterness. So those are definitely one of the OG noble hops.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Were you able to enjoy this by the liter without ruining the rest of October?
No. Is that what it says on the flavor text there?
Yes.
But the announcement is, I'm extending the Oktoberfest series, because I couldn't drink any for the past 2 weeks, into November.
Oh, boy.
So stay tuned for some more Oktoberfest beer brags from me, I guess.
Miketoberfest.
Yeah. So big we couldn't fit it in 1 month. So yeah, that's my beer brag. Jeremy, hopefully you have something a little more contemporary, recent that you had.
Yeah. Recent as in like an hour ago.
Okay.
While I was making some dough for a Danish kringle.
Oh, you make those?
I'm going to.
You know how that turns out. I'm curious.
My boss is having a brunch party on Sunday for a get-together whose explanation would be too long to go into here, but fancy people, faculty, what have you. Lot of my coworkers and my superiors will be there. They're doing a potluck, and I couldn't think of anything to bring off the top of my head, and so I just like, yeah, just bring the sheet back to me. And I chose poorly, because by the time I realized, oh, I should just do banana chocolate chip muffins again, because I just made some of those, and they turned out really well.
Mm.
Muffins were already taken, and everything I had thought of was taken, so like, you know what, screw it, I'm making a kringle.
Okay. Tell the fine folks at home what a kringle is, just in case they don't know, because I think it's kind of a regional thing.
It's a Danish pastry.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, you know, pastry with a fruit filling of some sort. The fruit filling I have chosen, Michael, is bourbon apple.
Oh. Does the pastry need to be in a certain shape? Is the oval, is that always done, or?
You can do it in an oval. So, Matt, for those, imagine like a circular plate with a big like hole in the middle, like a giant donut, like a 2D donut.
Yes.
And it's just kind of, a lot of them do that, but I don't have the capability, nor do I have the patience to attempt to do such a thing.
Okay.
They also make them in like straight loaves.
Oh, okay.
So not like a bread loaf, nothing that thick, but like about a foot long.
Kind of like an extended toaster strudel, but not.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to put it. And well, so, yeah, I'm making a bourbon apple kringle.
So you have to like reduce apples in bourbon then?
I'm going to do it in the wok too.
Ooh.
Yeah. But to get back to where we were starting
from.
I don't know if I've had this one. I know I've had it before, but I don't know if I've talked about it. Big Grove is doing a seasonal canning now, which makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Two things. I'll double this up.
Okay.
I went and saw the 40th anniversary restoration of the movie Halloween on Halloween. And the Grindhouse used to have a deal with Pabst. Well, they were trying to get a deal with Pabst Blue Ribbon by featuring those beers for like $3 for a tall boy during their scary movies, Grindhouse, whatever you want to call it. And this was as recent as, you know, film Scream.
Oh, yeah.
They have since changed that up to an actual sponsorship with Big Grove and to their Boomtown Premium, which is like their yellow beer.
So that's an upgrade.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And it's the same price. And now they sell Big Grove beer and Tallboys, which is cool.
That is cool.
So they had that. And then while I was out procuring the ingredients for said Kringle, I noticed that they have a Redheaded Stranger IPA, a seasonal IPA, in cans now, which makes me very, very happy because that's a really good beer. It's a red IPA. It's malty. It's caramelly. It's as ambiguous as you might expect a red IPA, but it's super piney. And in a world where it's a lot of haze and orangey and fruit-forward IPAs, I really dig this one.
Okay, kind of going back to the core IPA style a little bit?
I guess so. I mean, they still sell their...
with that specific one.
Sure. But this is the first of their, like, air quotes, seasonals that they've put out that I noticed anyways. It's quite delicious. I highly recommend y'all check it out if you can get your hands on it. But yeah, Redheaded Stranger.
Oh, nice, nice.
Willie Nelson is cool, and I have red hair. So.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Well, Jeremy, talking about canning beers and stuff and containers, I have some related brews news.
Nice segue, Michael.
Okay. To me, I like this a lot, and I hope this catches on, but we'll see.
Is it a dance craze?
You know, I'm all about those dance crazes.
Everybody do the Michael.
The funky duck man.
Yeah.
This is from the Chicago Tribune, and it is written by Josh Noel. Does that name sound familiar, Jeremy?
Was he involved with that the book?
Yes. He wrote Barrel Aged Stout and so on.
Okay. I'm terrible at remembering authors unless I get a book for the author.
And the headline is Off Color Brewing.
I like them.
Yes. goes small with big beer in 8-ounce bottles.
Hmm.
Off-Color Brewing, which makes some of Chicago's most creative beers, putting some of it in a uniquely small package, 250-milliliter bottles, which is a svelte 8.45 ounces. It will make Off-Color one of the few craft breweries, or possibly the only one, among the nearly 7,000 packaging beer in such a small vessel. It says that they, out of their own shop, I guess it's called the Mousetrap.
I've been there.
Okay, I assume so. They don't really have a problem selling the big format bombers, 270 milliliter bottles, but beyond its own walls, large format bottles have become tough to sell. And part of the reason is that those bottles usually require multiple people or a special occasion to open. Hence, as most craft beer drinkers know, they tend to sit around.
Yes, that is a problem.
It says that things that they're putting in there is Jerkbird. I don't know if you've ever heard of any of these. Belgian Golden Strong Ale at 10.5%, and Signet, New Wild Ale that is aged in a large red wine barrel. You can tell these are, you know, heavy-hitting beers, strongly flavored, high ABVs. So these new bottles will be in 4-packs and priced between $10 and $16.
Okay, that's about what I was going to guess.
Yeah, and they Off-Color says this is enough for the consumer to understand what's in the glass, but not too much to fatigue the palate. And they go into like the technical issues of making a bottle this small, because
nobody makes it.
Makes them, exactly. They had to go through a German company to get these
I believe
bottles.
It. How big do you think the bottle is that the bitters come in? Is that probably like 4 or 5 ounces?
I'm pretty sure that's like 4 ounces. At least. They come in varying sizes, but like
the standard one, yeah. With the paper around it. Okay.
So, I mean, that's about it. There's more in the article, but...
It's a Red Bull can.
Yeah.
Yes. So, at first, when you had said this is like, what a stupid idea, I'm going to go burn down Michael's house for even bringing it up. But it's actually a really good idea. It's stupid if you are doing something like, a 6% beer. Something like that. But if you're doing something that, like...
A premium
that takes like forever and a day to make, or take some sort of crackpot yeast,
high ABV, or
something that Off-Color makes, for lack of a better word, then it makes a whole pile of sense, because I'm a big believer in using the wine stoppers on fancy pants beers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that works out well if you like open it on a Friday and can finish it off over the course of a weekend.
But right, yeah, that's...
Not everyone wants to do that.
Ticking clock still, yeah.
It's because you lose carbonation. It's not as big of a deal with stouts, but I mean, for like a Belgian or a wild ale, I can see that becoming an issue.
Yeah.
So yeah, good on you, Off-Color.
Yeah, and I hope this catches on.
I was against it, but now I'm for it.
Yeah, because I don't often get these bomber-type beers because they're hard to enjoy.
I've checked in with noted Off-Color fan, cousin of the show, and he does not hate it as an alternative to 750 bottles.
Right.
That's a quote.
I think ultimately it's just kind of a win-win. I mean, you're getting more beer. It's a more versatile way to share it. You can have it by yourself, or if other people are over, you can just share the bottle. So share a bottle, I should say.
Yeah.
So yes, I found that fascinating and good on Off-Color.
Agreed. Now they need to get a tap room, because they don't have a tap room.
They just have the Mousetrap?
It's just a bottle shop. At least the last time I was there, which was 2 years ago? That was probably 2016. Anyway.
Jeremy, should we get into the FDR?
Yes. How about you tell the fine people what that means while I go get the beer out of the fridge?
Okay. The FDR is where we find a beer, drink a beer, and rate a beer. And as a special treat for the whole month of November, it's Stout Month on American Pale Males. We'll be rating a stout every week.
Oh, wow. You've done that. I was wondering about that.
I didn't actually tell you that. I guess we can edit that out if you had other plans.
Oh, no, that's fine.
But I think we have the juice to do it, so I figure let's make every beer this month a stout.
Stoutvember? Stovember?
Yeah, I couldn't really think of a good pun. Darkvember, you know, because they're dark beers. We'll have to work on it, but Jeremy, what beer do we have in front of us now?
Michael, we have a treat today. We are doing Firestone Walker's Nitro Merlin Milk Stout.
Merlin.
Was this the first Firestone you've had? You haven't had one, right?
This will be the first Firestone beer I've had.
Now, back to our, back to the book.
Oh, yeah, okay.
These guys are owned by someone, correct?
Well...
Are they a boudoir?
They are... No, they are not. They're owned by... Oh, no, these guys are,
Constellation?
Nope, they're Duvel...
Mortgat.
Yes. I was going to say they're part of the... I always get confused because they have fire in their name. I was going to say they're in that Firewalker investment group.
Oh, yeah.
Or not Firewalker, Fireman investment group.
Uh-huh.
See, I just got it confused right there. But no, they are Duvel.
It's called your Fireman. So, Michael, this is a Nitro.
Yes.
And I'm not shaking it up, but I am kind of rocking it gently back and forth past my ear, and I'm not hearing a widget.
Yes, yes. Some sort of technology has enabled them to put that in there.
Michael, stop! Pour hard into glass.
Are you reading the side of the...
Yes, I am. We're okay. Going to master the surge pour. Invert can X3. Okay.
Okay.
One, two,
three.
Three. All right. Surge pour. Because we have to wait for this thing. So let's
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Let's pour it
let's
now.
Let's pour it, and then we...
Talk a little more. Whoa!
Yep. Okay, now right. Upside down hard.
Okay, I had to ingest a little foam there. I guess that's a little sneak preview for me.
Because
it's oozed all the way out there. I'm going to surge pour it next to some electric equipment. So I'm putting it 180 degrees, and hoping it doesn't overflow. Here we go.
Did you overflow on your Firestone Walker?
No. Okay. Electronics are all safe, and the pour leveled off right before the top of the glass.
I'm using my Imperial Stout glass.
Glass?
Yeah, yeah.
The one with the little... Is that the curvy one?
Uh-huh. Well, the Shaun of the Dead will go to the... We'll go to the Winchester and have a pint and wait for this to all blow over. Beer information, Michael.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know anything about Firestone Walker, so I looked at their about page.
Ah, go for it.
I won't go too much into it, but it's it was founded by two brothers-in-law, David Walker and Adam Firestone.
I was going to say, is it like F. Murray Firestone or something like that?
Yeah, that's where the name comes from.
Okay, it's a good name.
And I'll leave it at that. We won't get too much into it. So let's go to the beer.
Once you get to the Nitro Merlin Milk Stout page, you will find out... Not a lot, mostly about Nitro technology. This is nitrogenated, as one might expect, with a name like it is. Which means that there is a solid figure and a half of a head on the thing. Mm-hmm. The bubbles cascade downward, much like a Guinness. We have an ABV of 5.5, an IBU of 27, a color of 65 SRM. It's pretty dark. And fermentation is 100% stainless steel fermentation. I've never seen that as a color text before.
I've not either. That's interesting.
This thing is pitch black.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the videos on the page, Jeremy?
No, I didn't.
I did watch the Surge Pour one. Just
to make sure that you did it right.
Well, I had an idea of what was going on, but I wanted to get their spin on it.
This is going to get back to our milk stouts versus sweet stouts versus dry stouts.
Yeah, and that's going to be, maybe we can kind of address that throughout this month, because I don't go for stouts that much, I got to be honest. I think you know.
Yeah, it's the time of the year for that sort of thing. So you've picked a good month.
Cooler months, yeah, cooling down, some hearty brews to warm the soul. And yeah, I'm interested in kind of revisiting some stouts and picking out those different styles, if we can do that. I don't even remember what we have, so we'll see. Maybe we're just going to have a bunch of milk stouts. I don't know.
I don't think that's the case.
I think we have some variability in
We have some variability.
But I guess, should we go in for this one?
Yeah. Okay, you haven't had Firestone Walker. I can say that I got a 12-pack mixer.
Oh, that's a good way to go.
I've had their Union Jack, their Easy Jack, which is their regular and sessionable IPAs, respectively. I've had their Pivo Pilsner. And Lupanic Distortion, which I believe is a single hop series that changes with every batch. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes sense. Distortion. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of this? I haven't had any of their weird stuff, like the ones with the weird paper labels on the bottles.
This one is... It's interesting, and I don't know if it's... I'm pretty sure my taste buds are back to normal, but it's not... It's kind of a muted sweetness a little bit.
It is.
It's very smooth. I like the mouthfeel very much.
Oh, yeah.
Even, like, amongst the pantheon of nitros, like, I like this a lot. It's not like a Guinness, like that dry...
Roast.
Irish stout. It is... There's a little milkiness, a little sweetness in there. But it's not, like, cloyingly sweet. It's not trying to be, like, a dessert stout or something like that.
No, no. Nor is it, like, a coffee stout or anything.
It's, right, it's not very bitter.
Although there is a Mocha Merlin that I've seen.
Oh, Merlin.
Merlin! I think this you could call this muted in just about every sense.
Yeah, kind of a...
It's not a big, brash, roasty stout.
Mm-mm. It's not super sweet. It's a smooth mouthfeel. It's just kind of a pleasant drink, really.
This is about the definition of a sessionable stout. I mean, it's...
I was going to say, yeah.
With the hairier porters and stouts, I mean, a Guinness isn't exactly going to, you know, light things on fire. It's what, 4 point... It's an English stout, for God's sake.
Well, Irish, Jeremy.
Irish, whatever.
Be careful!
You're right. Those are... Wait, hold on.
Don't forget the troubles.
Yeah, Northern Ireland is part of the UK. I apologize to all of our Irish listeners. It's an island stout. Whereas when I, outside of Brewdogs, the Americanized brewery that I went to in Glasgow, I was told to watch out with a beer that went over 5%.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I remember you saying that. So, no, I get what you're saying. I completely get what you're saying, but... In the American terms, it's sessionable at 5.5%.
Oh, sure. I mean, and sessionability is not necessarily just a low ABV. Right. It also comes with, you know, the drinkability, which you've already brought up in the mouthfeel department.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so overwhelming that it's going to just... It doesn't have that ashy taste that,
right,
that our stouts that we've made have.
Yeah.
It's not burnt. It's not... The roast isn't overwhelming. It's just kind of like, hey, man, here we are.
And it's not, you know, as we see so much today, it's not a blank BS stout.
Sure.
Where the flavor in and of itself is kind of a limiting factor.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going back to that 8.5-ounce bottle size or whatever.
Yeah.
No, this one is definitely one that's... You could probably have two in a row and just be cool with it.
Yeah, we do have an Imperial Russian Stout coming down the pipe, Michael.
That's right.
I don't know if you remember it, but I find myself wishing that this was a little bit roastier.
Yeah, maybe something like you could put hooks into a little more.
Yeah, it's just kind of there.
Yeah.
Like, it's doing what it has set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that this had, like, any grand... ambition to be like, we're going to burn down, you know, the taste buds, and we're going to put in all this carafa and yada yada yada. It's just like, yeah, we're gonna make a stout, and they made a stout.
Well, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If it was not nitrogenated, would that add, null effect, or decrease your feelings about it?
I think it would add.
Oh, you'd like it non-nitrogenated
so...
versus nitrogenated.
I think so, because I feel like nitrogenated stouts especially are usually pretty good, but I feel that when you nitrogenate something, it is meant to sort of like underline the roast and the underlying flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, for example, I was at Lion Bridge this past week. I think I brought that up last time we recorded. And they had their English Mild on nitro.
Mm-hmm.
Which is excellent, but that one has all sorts of roast into it. Like, it's what I think this beer wants to be.
So the nitro would be better at kind of smoothing out edges, whereas this one's already kind of smoothed out already.
Yeah, I just feel like this one does. The nitro is good at sanding off the hard edges, but I feel like this one doesn't have any hard edges to begin with.
Yeah, That's a good point.
I do what I can.
Should we rate it then?
Yeah. Hey, you go first.
Okay.
Or I can. I mean,
I can do it.
Okay.
Let me go in for a sip of judgment here.
I'll do the same thing.
Yeah, it's kind of inoffensive, and I don't know. Like, for me, I don't like too much roast, but I also don't like too much sweetness. I think I like this because it's not going too far in some of the directions that some stouts I've had take. But at the same time, like we said, there's not a lot to sink your teeth into, and it's a little lackluster in that regard.
Do you think this would be a good one for the family member, probably older, that has an inherent bias towards dark beer? I realize this may be a phenomenon that you and I have dealt with about a decade ago, and I don't know if it still happens, but I know a few older males that are still a little hesitant when it comes to dark beer. Like, oh, that stuff, that's too heavy for me.
Yeah.
Do you think this would be...
But I don't know, even...
I don't know.
I think the nitro might kind of... Well, there's no fizz in this, or something like that. I don't know.
No, that's totally possible.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm actually going to... I'm just going between two ratings. I think I'm actually going to go down. I like this beer. It's good. But for all the reasons we said, I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Fair.
Out of the gate, I would have said a 3.75, but as we kind of talked about it and I'm having it more, it's good, but, you know, I've had better.
For me, this is just okay. I mean, I feel like I've said a few times that I'm a bigger fan of dry stouts or just the big fur-bearing imperial stouts. This one's just kind of in the middle. It doesn't really do any one thing spectacularly. I suspect that is a byproduct of the nitro, because, like we said, I think a little bit of that, the texture from the carbonation would give the roast a little bit more edge, and this doesn't have that. That said, it's perfectly fine. It's inoffensive. If it was in a cooler, I don't know if I would reach for it, but if it was between this and, like... you know, Bud Light, I know I'd go for it.
Yeah.
But if there was any other thing with any sort of color in it, I highly doubt I would.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with a 2.5 on this one, just because it's right down the middle. This is about as average of a beer as I can think of.
Yeah. I can understand that, too.
Neither good nor bad.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
This might be a good baseline comparison, too, to other stouts we have.
It's a good one to start with, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Michael, hit us with those social media plugs.
I will do that. You can get in touch with us at APM Pod on Twitter and Facebook. Emails directly, apmpod@gmail.com. You can also check us out on Untappd, where host emeritus Mike Tomb, Tom Bombadil of the show, keeps up with our ratings there. Also, rate, review, subscribe, if you can, on your favorite app that does podcasting.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah. But yeah, in any case, this is another one down the gullet. So for Jeremy, I've been Michael.
For Michael, I've been Jeremy.
And this has been American Pale Males. Cheers.
Cheers.